Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Welcome, everybody, to The Marketing Menu with me, Liz, and Nikki, and we're very excited to have a guest speaker here with us today.
Hello, everybody. So Nikki here. So welcome again and welcome to Jake Moore, who is Cyber Protection Officer from Dorset Police.
Thank you. Hi, everyone.
So, Jake, we know that you're doing a lot of talks around the area now. What is your role and why was it set up?
So, yeah, I'm the Cybercrime Prevention Officer for Dorset Police. And so my role has been created for about a year and a half now. To get cybersecurity advice out to as many people as possible around the county, and particularly small businesses, because they tend not to have the cybersecurity training and advice in place. And if we can help with that knowledge and advice to prevent cybercrimes from happening, then we could effectively keep those businesses from being hit by cyber attacks.
So are we saying that small businesses are particularly susceptible then to cyber crime?
Well, small and medium businesses tend not to have the IT departments that might help them out.
Right.
They particularly don't have a security person who would look after their company in that respect. So yes, everyone's targeted, but small and medium businesses tend not to have that prevention in place.
Right, okay. And presumably Dorset Police saw a need specifically for somebody of your sort of role?
Yes, well, all the police forces in the country were offered money by the Home Office to fund this role.
Okay.
And I think the large majority of the forces have taken on my role.
Okay, so even if listeners are listening in from another county, then effectively they will to reach out to their local force.
Yeah, they definitely can do that. And someone can go in and give a talk and give some training if they need be.
Interesting.
Excellent. So what's your background? How did you get into cybersecurity?
Well, I did maths and computing at university. And then I went straight into the police force. I started off doing statistics, but then I soon went into the high-tech crime unit. Now, that's the unit where I would take computers apart and look for digital evidence on hard drives and in phones.
The stuff of telly
absolutely.
Cop shows.
It's not as quick as it is on the TV, I'll tell you that. But if a murder, for example, we would take the computer apart, look for just log on, log off times, Google history, maybe their emails could be found. Anything that could help out as evidence in a court case would be huge. And it's growing so much these days. But anyway, I did that for about 8 years. And then I managed the team, became head of digital forensics for a couple of years in Dorset Police. And then I was asked to go and join the cybercrime team.
Wow, challenging. So I know you're going to talk to us about different types of cybercrime.
Yeah.
I had an email from supposedly the HMRC the other day.
Oh, I've had loads, yeah.
Now, it looked really genuine.
Of course.
Obviously, I'm used to them now. So I did double check the email address that it came from because it was telling me that I had a £411 refund.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the sort of things that are catching people out?
That's a typical phishing email. Phishing emails are a huge problem, but they're always prevented by us knowing that they could be a phishing scam. And so the HMRC one, lots and lots of people are discussing them now, so they tend to think twice and hope when they see them come up. Also, if you do have an HMRC account, you'll have what's called two-factor authentication in place, which means when you type in your logon, username and password, it'll then say, hey, we're going to text you a code, and that code's a one-time password that works just for that 1 minute.
Yeah. That's right, it comes to your phone.
That's it. Mm. And so that means the hacker, if he had your password or so, he would also need that code, and he hasn't got your mobile phone. So that's a big telltale sign if you're going to a site and it doesn't ask you for that code, of course.
Right,
you're therefore probably looking at a fake site. They're trying to harvest your password from they do, however, send fake text messages as well. So it's not just fake emails that are coming through. It's called SMS phishing, or together it's called smishing.
Right.
It's one of the newer terms. They love these terms. And that will come to your phone. It says, hey, you're due £200. So it's not the too good to be true scenario, so it's something that you might think you might be refunded with. And by clicking on it, it would take you to a fake site. A big no-no, if you are ever sent anything like that, log in through the normal way that you normally would. Maybe you've kept it in your favourites.
Yeah.
Right, okay, good advice.
Okay, so Jake, and I've also heard the term bandied around ransomware, so can you tell me what you can do to help counter against that?
Yeah, so ransomware is usually where someone sends an email with an attachment which they're enticing the user at the other end to click on. And simply say on a Windows or Mac laptop, if you open up that attachment, you're going to set off the malware inside, which will lock all of your files. That's everything. That's right. From your Word documents, Excel, your photos, your videos, you name it, it will lock everything out. And a screen comes up saying, right, everything's locked, and if you'd like to get your data back, you have to pay via Bitcoin, which is a digital currency, which is largely untraceable, of anything from, say, £200 upwards. And I've seen ransoms around £5,000.
Right.
One Bitcoin is currently around £3,500, but it could be anything. And if the hacker's done his homework, then he'll act that ransom at the price where he thinks you'll be able to pay it.
Okay.
So the best bit of advice here is to train everyone in the company just to not go click heavy on these attachments. It might say, for example, invoice.pdf. And you might want to click on it.
I get a lot of those, actually. I'm thinking now, you know, we attach your invoice following the transaction. I'm thinking, hang on a minute,
that's right.
I didn't actually...
So you are aware that you haven't made that transaction. Yeah. You shouldn't be expecting an invoice. Brilliant. That's your verification, the fact you know you're not receiving
okay.
it. But if you've got someone in the organisation who thinks, I suppose that could be right, that's an invoice, I'll keep the boss happy, they'll be chuffed to bits that I go and click on this.
Yeah.
By doing that, anything attached to that network, so I'm assuming all your computers are on the same network, it will lock everything. Now, if you keep a backup online, that will then kill your backup as well. We've seen companies go down, and so is their backup. And so they've just essentially, from one click, have lost everything. So you must be keeping backups offline. That's simply...
So in the case of, I mean, our own example, we use Dropbox. So that would actually filter through
it
to
will.
The Dropbox.
So Dropbox is fantastic if you're paying the top premium amount.
Right.
The monthly subscription of the top WAC will do ransomware protection. That will keep a backup of, say, 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
So if you got hit, you can go to Dropbox and say, can I have a backup of 24 hours ago?
Right.
If you're just doing the free version or just the elementary stuff, then no. Sadly, it will synchronise across all devices and lock them all out.
Good grief.
That's so scary.
It is. And it's so simple for them to do this. Anyone could make up this malware code and send it to anyone. And your antivirus, which you probably have, and you probably put a lot of emphasis on the fact you've got that, it won't always stop it, because antivirus can only stop viruses that are known.
Yeah.
And ransomware changes its strands all the time.
Right.
So if you've got a hard drive unplugged with your backup on, that's the safest way, because the ransomware will not be able to jump into a backup hard drive that's on the desk or under the desk or wherever you want to keep it. If you're a slightly larger company, I would suggest having an off-site backup as well. Off-site backups are there also for fire, flood, theft, you name it.
Yeah.
So it's not just ransomware.
Okay, that is really scary. So worst case scenario then, I have been hacked and I now have one of these ransomware things all over my screen. What can I do?
Well, sadly, your head is now in two minds. Do you pay off the cyber criminals with the ransom they're offering? Or do you turn to your backup, which I hope you have? I would be suggesting, if you haven't got a backup of what I say, offline backup, so not connected to the computer or network, then that is the only way. You should
risk
also
to pay.
Yeah, I don't want people to have to pay out for this.
Right.
That comes down to each individual circumstance. I have heard of people paying it and they do get their data back.
Right.
But I don't want to get there. So
right
now I would suggest everyone needs to look at their backup and also see how long it would take to restore that backup.
Yeah.
In my last job, I used to have to go to old data and restore it. Notoriously, it would take a long time to do. So you could be out of, say, business for a couple of days whilst you're getting back to where you were just an hour before. So that has a cost implementation as well, and I get that.
Okay, but you do suggest that people do get their stuff back?
I've heard it's a good 90% plus they tend to get the code to do that. But I don't want to have to say the rule is to pay it, because we don't want to be funding cyber
I suppose
crime.
They want people to know that they get the stuff back from a
business. Sadly, that's the case. But if all your listeners go and look at their backup now, then we could possibly even get rid of ransomware, because they could start sending it out to every company, and we're everyone would say, you know what, I've got my backup, and thanks very much. Yep. And also, I've trained all my staff not to click on an attachment without verifying first.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Prevention is key.
So it's important to mention, listeners, that we will be doing a transcript of this podcast on our from our website, themarketingmenu.com. So you can go hop over there afterwards and download a copy and share with your team.
And don't forget, we're also on social media. So do visit us on Facebook and Twitter, where we share all sorts of useful information to help your marketing activity to be as effective as possible.
Great. Okay. So, Jake, are there sort of any further tips that you would give small business owners then, really? What would, you know, what would those tips be?
Yeah, so I think I've gone on about backup enough. So now I'll suggest that there's this thing called two-factor authentication that is absolutely vital for anyone who has
it annoys me a little bit.
Well, this is the problem. This is the offset, people say to me. They find security an inconvenience. But there has to be a level where security is there in place. It gives a functionality to keep you secure. If you don't follow those procedures and adding those layers of security, you are then vulnerable to getting hacked. So two-factor authentication, if you're not aware of what that is, it's a password with your username, so something that you know, coupled up with something that you have. So, for example, your mobile phone will get a text message. Like I said about the HMRC, you can do this with Twitter, Facebook, Gmail, you name it. The good quality accounts that are out there, the big ones, will allow it. So you get a code that's a one-time password that only works for that 30 seconds or so, and therefore, if I were to hack your password, I then can't get into your account. This is vital for your email account. So your email is the main one here.
So we can set up a two-factor authentication on our own email account.
Yes, you can.
Right.
Sometimes it's hidden away and people get funny with the fact that they can't find it very easily. This is the sad part of it. It's not on by default.
Right.
But please do go look in the security settings, or just, it might be in settings, it might even be called multi-factor verification.
Yeah.
It tends to have a couple of different terms, but it does the same thing. But definitely do it on your social media, because I've seen companies that have had their social media hacked because their password was too easy to guess.
Okay.
And then they've got in and sent all sorts of strange messages out on the social media, which is brand
really
damaging.
Absolutely. Damaged.
Happens a lot on Facebook, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the simple way around that is not only have a good password, but to have your phone set up. So if anyone wants to actually then go and post on a new device, your phone would get the code and say someone's trying to get into your Facebook. And you just click the button that says, no thanks, that wasn't me. And no one can then go and damage you.
Okay. And just on the aside, we mentioned Facebook there. I've heard about sort of cloning of Facebook pages and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's very difficult to stop. But if you do ever see that, you can click report and it'll go over to Facebook and they will look into it and hopefully get rid of it.
Right.
I see that happening in individuals as well, when people might pretend to be someone who's not on Facebook and then add their friends and then in the end request money from them and so on, small amounts.
Right. Is there an easy way to tell whether a website is fake or cloned? Not an easy way, obviously.
A website?
The
safest way is to look for the padlock in the web address.
Right.
If you're on a website in a browser, look for that padlock in the top. That will tell you that it's an encrypted site. So whatever data you give them, they can't read. If it hasn't got that padlock, then you're essentially, if you type in a password or your credit card information, they'll just take that and put it straight into their spreadsheet.
Okay.
So that's the number one key if you're dealing with a website that may be dealing with sensitive information.
Okay, right. Interesting.
Can I just go back to Facebook a minute? Because I think this has happened a lot to me recently.
Okay.
Where I've had these fake friend requests.
Yeah.
Where somebody has gone in and it actually comes up with the person's profile photo.
Of course,
and it's saying friend request. And I did get caught by it once, and I immediately changed my password, reported it to Facebook, and told the person that whose account it was. Why do they do it?
Okay, so they're looking further down the line. So if they go and choose to be someone and add you as a friend, then they might go and add all of that person's friends on social media. You then believe it's them. Because every time someone posts on Facebook and it comes up with their profile picture and a status, you just essentially, you believe it's them. And if they email you and say, hey, I'm going on holiday, and you go, great, okay, whatever. And then a few days later, you could then get an email that says, oh, I've just hurt myself. I didn't.
Yes, I've seen those.
Of course. Right. And you already now think it is that person. And they're saying, look, I'm asking £50 off all my friends to help out with my insurance operation.
Yeah.
And can you just send it to me? £50 is not too much money. You. It's not the whole it's too good to be true
so
scenario.
50% of us might do it. No,
absolutely. So if you do see a name popping up on Facebook adding you, ring that person up.
Mm. No. You don't seriously expecting us to people
this
nowadays.
This is verifying.
Really? As opposed to just email exchange and
totally.
Sort of social.
I don't trust any email that comes into me.
Oh, no.
If I get a link or an attachment, I ring that person up because I want to verify. Well, it'd be pretty embarrassing if I got hacked, but...
Right. Really, yeah. Wouldn't it?
So I want to make sure that it's that person, especially the same with Facebook.
Right.
Mm. It goes without saying, have you met the person? And I speak to lots of under 30-year-olds, sadly, that will just add all sorts of people.
Acquaintances,
tend to want lots of numbers on their friend requests.
Yeah,
sure.
Interesting. Gosh.
Well, that's how popularity is gauged, isn't it? By how many friends you've got on Facebook. Jake, this has been absolutely fascinating. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, well, if you want to learn any more, I've got a YouTube channel.
Ah, great.
You can just simply type in Dorset Police Cybercrime into YouTube or into Google and you'll find a load of videos. I think I've made about 12 so far. I make loads all the time. On what I find are the current trends and what current threats we've got against us. And that is specifically for small businesses, actually.
Right, okay. We'll link to that also on our own YouTube channel. Right.
Yes, and obviously we'll repeat it in the podcast, in the transcript as well, so that'd be really
useful. Do you have other social media accounts that are relevant to
mention? Yeah, I'm sure they'll be on there as well. So we're on Facebook and we're also on Twitter.
Okay.
And do you post regular sort of security updates?
Twitter, every day. Facebook at least once a week.
Right. Excellent. Okay. Have you got lots of friends on Facebook?
I don't know. I haven't
lived in
the
first.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Jake, for taking time out of your very busy schedule, because I know you're on the circuit now talking. Yeah. And listeners, if any of you see a talk by Jake, do go along, because you know we need to be learning all the time how to keep ourselves safe. So that just leaves us to thank Jake so much for coming along today to talk to us, and to remind you to tune in onto our next podcast, which is on the 1st of November, where we're going to be talking all about marketing on a budget.
Yay! Okay. So until then, it's goodbye from me, Nikki.
And from me, Liz.
And Jake.
Thanks very much.
Thank
goodbye.
You. All right.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu. Brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.